back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint with Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, before long, AI will be doing this show entirely in our place.
So we won't even have to do anything. That'd be great. We'll just, who knows?
What would we do?
I don't know. Drink beer, I guess. Can AI drink beer?
Not yet.
Not yet. So, we have that.
Can do beer reviews, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure it could do beer reviews, but could it really taste the beer? I don't know. I don't know if robotics are quite there or if they'll ever get there. So, So yeah,
it's
we've
scary,
always
though.
Got,
it's getting
we've
there.
Always got that.
So we're going to be talking about, that's a nice little segue. We're going to be talking about what AI is doing, how it is learning, how it is becoming more persuasive. I mean, we've talked about all of these things before, but we're going to highlight a couple of articles that we checked out on how AI is learning how to win friends and influence people.
Yes.
You know that classic book, Sean? I got it right here.
Do you? Look at you bringing the props.
That looks like old school.
Did you get that when you were back in high school?
No.
It's like your original copy.
This was from a used bookstore somewhere in the past.
Sure it was.
I was reading that in 11th grade. Yeah, I was preparing myself.
You pulled that right off the bookshelves when it came out.
Man, it's crazy though. AI is learning this stuff. AI is learning to be persuasive. And a lot of it has to do with, and we'll talk about this, a lot of it has to do with how we as human beings are interacting with AI. And are we more comfortable talking to a machine than we are to normal people? So
that's a good question. It's one we will attempt to answer today. Love to have some feedback from listeners if, send us an email, whatever. But yeah, it's interesting. Well, this is kind of an evolution from the old phone tree, which we all, I think, agree we kind of all hate.
Yeah.
So, we'll talk about kind of what's happened and the changes in anything. I've also got a stat from the world of advertising that I saw today, and it absolutely blew me away. I mean, it's kind of irrelevant, but at the same time, it's like, wow, that's a big number. So we'll share what that is. Just as a little advertising trivia for you, especially if you have, especially if you have teens or early 20s in your house.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
So.
Nice little hook there. All right. Yeah.
Just made that up on the fly, man. Should have got AI to do it, but
that's right. Yeah.
Would have been a little better.
All right. So what are we having today? What are we having on the beverage docket?
I'm glad you asked. Today I am having from Bear King Brewing out in Marble Falls, Texas. I'm having the Amber Rosia.
Ooh.
It's a maple amber ale. Now, I was noticing this site has some really good copy for each one of their beers. A lot of times the beer things are, they're either a little cheesy or they're, whatever. But this one, every single beer has a little, like a tiny little story with it.
Ambrosia.
So this one is, without the goddess, the squirrels would not have survived the winter. Taking pity on them, she filled the maple trees of the forest with ambrosia, food of the gods. Sweet and plentiful, the syrup was a godsend, until it wasn't, .. Wow. Then it talks about the flavor profile. This easy drinking amber brings rich notes of caramel sweetness with a light hint of nuttiness. With 5 gallons of maple syrup added during fermentation, the mild dryness at the end keeps you coming back to wet your whistle. Listen to some of these other, here's a Vienna lager. Cowboy time is the period of time when naval aviators shoot the shit and relax between briefs and missions in the ready room. A perfect name for our Vienna style lager, since proceeds from every purchase of cowboy time goes to the Ready Room Project, a nonprofit started by fighter pilots, spouses, and friends to benefit military kids. So kick up your boots and raise your drink to those who serve. Like every one of them has a pretty nice little like its own little story,
human story behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. And then the, I have not been to this brew, but now I want to go. Yeah. It's about 45 minutes from here. Mm-hmm. Like they even have a story for them, you know, for the town they're in. Legend has it that centuries ago, a mysterious creature stalked the outskirts of Marble Falls. Some say it was half man, half bear. Other claim it was just a bear or simply a man. Either way, the myth, the Bear King, stuck. It's stories like this that inspire us here at our brewery.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's good copy. Like, you know, I love the story-based.
Yeah, I do too.
On companies like this.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So
cool,
this
little
is
a place too. Is that the picture of their, yeah. It's like kind of a trendy little, spot.
Yeah. There. A lot of these places in Austin right now, they're going into, I think, yeah, this place here, they're usually in like an industrial park. So it's a big, yeah. You know, open building, mm-hmm. Usually with grounds and picnic tables and stuff like yeah. that. So,
yeah.
I think that's how they're doing a lot of places around the country, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's going a nice into amber.
Old buildings with garages. Some of them are moving into like old mechanic, you know, like yeah. around this area. You see some that have gone into like, it looks like mechanic, you know,
old gas
auto stations shops or places yeah. like that, you know, with the garage doors and everything. So
yep,
pretty cool.
All right,
let's see. I am having, let me share a little show and tell here. I'm having a, this is from McKellar, Beer Geek Breakfast.
All right.
And this is a oatmeal stout with coffee.
Nice.
A little bit different than like what I'm showing. My beer label looks a little bit different. It's the same one, but a little bit different label there.
Yeah.
But this is a, oatmeal stout with 25% oat based ingredients. Copy's not so good. Yeah. Not as good as yours there, Sean.
The website looks pretty weak too. It's just a bunch of white space. That's right. I'm all for white space, but that's a little excessive.
A little excessive. Nice touch of gourmet coffee. Let's hope it tastes better than the copy. A beer that goes extremely well with breakfast, also good for the afternoon and the evening. Good hints of coffee and smoke, as well as dark chocolate and roasted malts. McKellar nice. Classic.
Have you ever done beer for breakfast?
I have never done beer for breakfast.
Yeah, me either. So,
though I've had a breakfast stout, like I don't even know what that's about. Like, why?
Yeah,
I guess because of the oatmeal. You know, the oatmeal stout is,
I guess, I don't know, but maybe we, I don't know. Maybe we're missing something that we don't even realize, you know,
maybe we should just pour it in their bowl of Cheerios and see how it tastes.
Yeah. Sounds delicious.
So,
all right. A little bit of honey.
There you
maybe
go.
Maybe beer with honey smacks.
Oh, there you go. Well, honey smacks and
I haven't had honey smacks stout. In decades.
What was your go-to cereal growing up? What was your favorite? Maybe not go-to. What was your favorite?
Yeah, I would say it's probably when Honey Nut Cheerios came out. I don't know how long ago that's been, but that's still my go-to. Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, mine too.
Or Raisin Bran Crunch is the other one. Not original Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran Crunch is much better. I don't know what new chemicals they added, but you know, stays a little crispier. So, but I think growing up, I mean, we didn't have a lot of cereal in the house growing up, but probably. Yeah. Yeah, Frosted Flakes definitely.
Ours was like mixed between Bran Flakes and you know, some of these healthier grain cereals.
My stepmom had grape nuts in the house. I don't know how you eat those though. Those things are just—it's like eating rocks.
That's right. I used to call it grape when I was when the kids were younger. We would get that every now and then, and I would call it, because I hated it. So you're right. It's like eating stone. So I call it grape gravel. Grape gravel.
Yeah,
that was my term.
It's not even good in trail mix or anything. It's just, man, I don't even. Must be.
I don't know what the purpose is.
It's put out by a dentist to make you break a tooth or something.
Yep, exactly.
So, all right. Well, let's taste this up. Cheers it up.
Cheers.
5 gallons of maple syrup. Let's see if I can taste any of it. By the way, mine's only 5.6%. So pretty light for this show. It's really good though.
Mine's 7.5%. It's It's expensive, like it. Too, for a single. Man.
This is pretty good, although it does have a little more hoppiness than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Is that in the profile? I don't remember. Let's see. It does say 36 IBUs, which doesn't seem too high, but it does. It's a little hoppy. I'm going to give this a solid. I'll give this a 3.9.
3.9.
Yep.
I'm going to have to take one more sip here. If it mine doesn't. There's not much sweetness to this. I was expecting it to be a little sweeter, but it's. I noticed it says dark chocolate. Maybe it's a.
Yeah, so the bitterness is probably coming through.
Yeah, so I'm not a, I mean, it's okay. I would give this one a, I give this one a 3.7. Yeah. Yeah.
Pour some Hershey's chocolate syrup in there.
Yeah, I was expecting a little, nice balance of sweet and with that coffee. I can taste the coffee, but it's a little bitter from my tasting.
And coffees, you know, can go from bitter to sweet as well. So depending on which kind of coffee they use, it makes a big difference too. Yeah. So yeah, mine's a little hoppy, but like the sweetness is really good. I can definitely taste the maple, enjoy that part, but the hoppy is just a little too, got that weird feeling on your mouth. So, all right, well, let's jump in and talk about, you wanted to save the shocking statistic for the end, or you want to lead off with it? Should we lead with it or end with it?
Well, let's save it. Let's save it. That's our closer.
All right, you heard him. We're saving it.
Yeah, we're closing out with that one.
So it's either going to be it'll be a good hook, but it could be a huge disappointment at the end.
Oh, too. Okay. Okay. As long as we keep them tuned in.
That's right.
So let's talk about AI to start with. AI, yeah. So the title, we've got an article. Should we pull it up or are we just going to go
I've got it, yeah.
AI is learning how to win friends and influence people, and we should be worried. It says, here's the, some of the research. This is by this was written, let's give credit to, Kashik Powell. I'm butchering his name.
Yes.
And,
it's pretty good. I'll go with that.
It says recent research shows that artificial intelligence has a remarkable ability to persuade human beings to act and think in a certain way. We've kind of known where this was headed. But here's some of the interesting findings. It says, let's move further down. It says, I found this interesting. I had to read this a couple of times, Sean, about the $100 bill, $100. So I was like, okay. But it says, according to the study, someone is given $100 and offers to split it with you. They'll get paid $80 and you get paid $20. If you reject this offer, both you and the proposer end up with nothing. Gaining $20 though is better than nothing, but previous research suggests that a $20 offer is likely to be rejected because we perceive it as unfair. So what they're saying is you give somebody $100, they don't split it evenly. It's an 80-20 split and you only get $20. So if it's given to us by a human being, our perception is that, well, this is kind of jacked up, right?
Right.
Only getting $20. I am not, this is not a fair deal.
I'm going to blow it up. I'm going to blow it up for both of us, right? So it'd be like somebody gave you $100, Jonathan. You say, well, I'm going to, and you, however it gets decided, you're like, Jonathan gets 80, Sean gets 20.
Right.
I'm like, screw that. If I'm only getting 20, he's getting like, no, we're going to walk away with nothing.
Yeah, you know? That's right. Yeah.
I don't think I would do that.
You're getting nothing now.
Yeah. I don't think I would do that. It'd be like, no, you're buying beer. Let's go somewhere afterwards. But apparently most people reject the offer and blow up the offer because it feels so unfair.
That's right. And there's a tendency towards, there's a little envy there, right?
Yeah.
That's taken place. But what happens is if AI is doing the same thing, if AI or a machine is making the same offer, we tend to act a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
We'll take that $20. Or it's like, oh yeah, I'll take it. You're just a machine.
Right.
So
so they think the reason that people are doing this is because it doesn't feel personal.
That's right.
So the very thing that people are complaining about AI, right? That, oh, it can't, it's not personal, it doesn't have a heart, is actually causing it to be more effective in some of these little studies that are going on, which is kind of, it's kind of weird, but it kind of makes sense too, right? It's like, well, you know, I guess the problem is they're not, you know, are they actually impartial? You know, that's the question. And it'll be interesting to see if that evolves over the next 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. As they get more human-like, will we begin to figure out? I mean, some people already, you know, they'll tell you like, well, chat leans left and Claude leans, you know, leans right. And like, depending on what you want to research, you should use one or the other, or go to one of these that supposedly, you know, doesn't have biases one way or the other.
Yeah. Yep. So here's another example to back that up.
Yeah.
So it says the same scientist conducted another experiment on how comfortable people are discussing a UTI, urinary tract infection. The experiment showed that people are more comfortable responding to questions typically considered embarrassing when asked by AI rather than a human doctor. So what they're finding is that human beings, or we as human beings, will respond more towards AI because we don't feel like we're being judged, you know?
Right.
We tend to keep things back from people that we feel like might be judging us.
Isn't that crazy though? Because I mean, you're talking to your doctor, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly in this situation.
Right.
I mean, I could understand if it was a friend or something like that, maybe, you know, but I assume we're talking about a doctor here.
Who is always, it's always in complete confidentiality, right? I mean, but even that, you know, you're still feeling, you know, sometimes intimidated, I guess, by a doctor.
Yeah. So that's interesting that people will feel like AI is not going to judge them. So, you know, they're willing to give more information, but you know, it's kind of makes sense, right? Because we've seen this with social media. People, all of us have one time or another have put stuff on social media.
Yeah.
That is probably a little more private than we should, than we've put on, that we've told our friends or family members.
Yep. Yeah.
There's something about it feels anonymous, mm-hmm. even though it's not.
Yeah. Right.
It feels sort of anonymous because it doesn't feel like there's another person there immediately there to give you that biofeedback, like the raised eyebrow or the, you know, the scrunched eyes, you know, that, those kind of facial signals that would make you feel bad.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Lack of judgment on our responses or our behavior. And then maybe to some degree, the fact that we trust a machine, not, you know, going out and talking to other people. I don't know. You know, you would think it just the opposite. I'm thinking this stuff storing all this data, like, you know.
Well, and that's what you hear everybody say, right? They're saying, well, I don't want to talk to a machine. I'm not blah, 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 right?
Yeah, right.
They don't have any soul. They don't have any heart. But we're actually finding, you know, that what people say and people's behavior, and this has been true for forever, what people say they want and their behavior, what they actually do, are not always in alignment.
Right.
We know that in marketing. We know that in, you know, a lot of other areas as well. From focus groups and study groups, this has always been the case. You know, a lot of people say focus groups are fairly irrelevant because there's more pressure from the crowd than there is from the product, you know, and just whatever they're focusing on. That usually the crowd will sway one way or the other,
right?
You know, more so than the product and describing it, because people don't want to get left out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So there was another thing in this article that I thought was just absolutely crazy. Not even from an AI standpoint, but just from a persuasion standpoint, it made me really stop and pause. And that was, people were more willing to put on sunscreen.
Yes.
When AI explained how to apply sunscreen before going out, rather than why they should use sunscreen.
Right. Yep.
That just, to me, was so counterintuitive to everything that I've been taught.
Right.
Of course, we do know that how-to books sell really, really well.
Yeah.
But you would think something as simple as like if you have the same 100 people, that a how-to would make them more likely to use sunscreen than an explanation of why they should use it. That's just weird to me.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on with
that. Yeah, it is crazy because, you know, I guess because, you know, going back to the interaction, knowing that we're conscious that we're interacting with a machine ultimately.
Yeah.
So we expect, maybe, I don't know. Is it that we expect that? Do we? We don't expect an explanation of why, or maybe.
Yes.
I don't know. That's bizarre. Yeah.
Then this article gets into a little bit about, computerized voices, and some of them sound. And we've played a couple of these.
Oh yeah.
One of these on the air.
Yep.
And they're just getting better and better. Faster and faster, and now they're like, they're so good that most people, there's places where they're so good people don't even know because they're not identifying that it's AI.
Yeah,
I think that's something we'll see change probably this year, maybe next year. Depends on how the election goes. We'll start seeing AI labels on stuff, generated by AI or AI voice or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was. I think it was Rich Sheffrin, who we've had on the show before.
Yeah.
When this stuff first came out, when chat first came out last year, I think he's the one that said he would not be surprised that if in 2 years people were preferring, or maybe it was John Benson, actually, video sales letter guy. He's been in AI more. So maybe it was him. But he's like, people will choose AI over a human.
Mm-hmm.
And according to this article, he was right.
He's right. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it just, the bottom line, human beings, they feel insecure sometimes or fearful of judgment, by human beings, but maybe not so much by a machine that works.
And then if you combine that with the fact that, would you rather talk to a doctor who has remembered 20% of what he learned in medical school, or would you rather talk to AI who knows 100% about every medical study that's ever been written, can cross-check it in an instant?
Yeah.
Which one would you rather give your symptoms to, right?
Yeah, right.
And I can see how that's going to start. Like, people are just going to have to accept it's like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to ask AI because that's faster than, it's kind of like Google Maps now, right? We just go to Google Maps. We don't run to the gas station and buy a paper map.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's faster. It's more convenient. It's got more data. It's up to date. Right. It's in real time. It's got traffic
alerts and cops, police officers waiting on the side of the road to snag us. I mean, I'm going to get that from a map, right?
Yeah. So that same evolution is going to happen in AI. It's just going to happen a whole lot quicker. And it's already, according to these studies, it's already happening.
Yeah. So the question is, what are the safeguards going to be to this? Are there going to be any?
And are they going to go too far? Are they not going to,
that's right.
And is it going to squash the technology or make it weak or whatever? Like those are all questions that we're going to have to be asking.
Knowing that you're getting called from a telecaller and you don't know. I mean, it's going to get to the point where you won't. I mean, we've already listened to, like you said earlier, we've listened to some call examples of, AI. And pretty soon, even at that, you could see that there was a little bit of a pause, a little bit of the delay in the response from AI. But still, when it did respond, it was incredible.
Yeah.
But at some point, the response is going to be fast, and it's going to sound exactly like a human being. So will there be safeguards that say, you're talking, by the way, you're not talking to a real human being. I don't know.
It's kind of like, instead of the thing at the front, this call is being recorded for,
that's
quality
insurance
purposes. Exactly. It's going to be, this call is generated by AI.
Yes.
For quality insurance purposes.
Yes.
They'll spin it however they need to spin it.
Right.
Well, if we talk about regulations and things like that, I think what will really push that forward is the other article that you sent over. Yeah.
Yep.
And this is about, and this is, you know, it's an election year this year, not just here, but around the world.
That's right.
So there's a study that came out just a couple weeks ago. It says AI creates propaganda just as scary and persuasive as people.
Yes. Yeah.
That doesn't mean people are scary and persuasive. It means just as scary as and persuasive people write, I guess, or create. This was pretty interesting. They actually did a study at Stanford University and Georgetown University.
I guess using ChatGPT-3 as well. I mean, they didn't use 4. This was like,
this is old school. So I guess they wanted somebody from the East and West Coast, the right and the left of the country.
Right.
Although these are both left cities. Yeah. But they use ChatGPT-3 to generate fake propaganda articles on topics like drone strikes, sanctions against Iran, and U.S. involvement in Syria. And then the researchers did an online survey of 8,000 Americans.
Yeah.
And they were shown real propaganda articles as well as AI-generated disinformation. And the AI-generated propaganda was able to sway people's opinions nearly as often as the real deal. On average, there was only about a 4% difference. Right. It was a little bit lower with AI. But when they just added a person in to just tweak it a little bit with like maybe one or two prompts, then the AI outperformed.
Right.
That's pretty scary. And now
it's scary.
And you combine that with what we saw what was it, 2 weeks ago when I showed you Sora that's coming out.
Yeah, the video.
You know, that they could do a 60-second video spot. And some more of those are coming out from the people that have a Sora license. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. Did you hear, in fact, on Sora specifically, and then we'll get back to the propaganda, about Tyler Perry in Atlanta and his...
I heard that. I was talking to our buddy David. We were having a conversation about that last week, and he said he immediately canceled, I forget how many billions of dollars investing in this.
It was 12 full sound stages and the staff, you know, and all that to go with it. So for those of you not familiar, Tyler Perry has a movie studio lot in Atlanta. Atlanta is actually a pretty big movie studio city these days. And he had an expansion planned. And when he saw Sora, just the demo, he canceled all of it.
He said, I'm out. Just like the Shark Tank, I'm out. For that reason, I'm out.
Yes. But he's not out of the movie business. He's just out of like spending money on infrastructure when he can just put a prompt in a computer and generate a movie, you know?
Absolutely. I mean you're thinking, whoa, you know, I can only imagine that, you know, you're watching that and you're thinking, okay, so I'm spending, I don't know how many billions of dollars on this studio.
Yeah.
And somebody's just going to write a few paragraphs of prompt in and create this.
Like, yep. Yeah.
Like I'm going to be putting my money in somewhere else.
I think I'm going to buy servers instead of, instead of studio lots, you know?
That's right.
Cause that's what you're going to need to produce movies. Now you're going to need servers can do high-end processing for video graphics.
That's all right. And so what we had the discussion, like, is this going to put actors, actors and actresses, are they going to be licensing their images? Like their image is for whatever movies are created with AI.
I don't know.
They'll just be collecting royalties on that. Like they're not going to be acting. They're just going to be licensing their image.
But will they even need to do that? I mean, we always have new up and coming
actors,
right? So like, why not just make a new person? Amalgamation of the perfect, you know, with the perfect skin type, the perfect eye color, the perfect eye shape, like all that stuff will be it'll be algorithmically created.
Yep.
And who gets all that money that was going out to all these people? Like, cause you know, prices aren't going to come down for the tickets.
Right. No, of course not.
So that's where you get into a lot of the,
I think you'll have some A-listers though, that people want to see still, like, you know, from a nostalgia standpoint, you know,
I think they do. I think they do. Yeah. For a while, but as that, it'll be the same thing. It'll be like, you know, if this, it doesn't matter as long as it's entertainment. I mean, the last, what, 10, 15 years, especially with Marvel.
Yeah.
The rise of GCI.
Right.
CGI, I mean.
Yeah.
The rise of CGI. I mean, half the movie is now computer generated. So, I mean, much. this was inevitable. They're
running around in a building that's painted green.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this was inevitable that it would, you know, go this way.
Right.
So, but now, I mean, instead of even needing a building, now you just need a keyboard and a, you know,
pretty much
access to a server that has this on it. So,
yeah,
it's pretty wild.
It is.
What else about the propaganda did you find?
Well, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, along these lines that AI creates source material too in the propaganda. So it'll highlight source material that sometimes if you follow the source material, it's not even real, right?
Right.
So it's going to use fake source material to back up, you know, whatever propaganda it's feeding you.
Yep.
And it'll have backup links. And I found this myself, you know, just creating some articles, or trying to put some research together on my own for some industry material that I was using. And I went to some of the links that it documented or highlighted or used as reference. And some of these were some of these didn't exist. And some of these were completely inaccurate, you know, in terms of numbers and data.
I think we did that last year, didn't we? On this show, we pulled up some of those things,
social proof is persuasive. Like, I don't care what you're doing. So if you can highlight something, and sometimes people don't check the sources, they just, see if you have the sources.
Yeah, I would say most of the time people don't.
No, they just gloss over it. I was like, oh, you have proof. Look, you've referenced this.
Yeah.
And no one really even checks to see if that is even legit or real.
Right.
A lot of times, you check it and it's like, there's nothing out there. There's no article. There's no research, or the research is completely different than what it's citing.
Yeah. Or yeah, it's so cherry picked. You know, you see this a lot in the health and, you know, bro science space. Where they'll reference, you know, an article from MIT or whatever.
Right.
But then when you go look at the article, you're like, you were a little generous on that. You know, the whole, and you see this in health trends all the time, right? Like resveratrol is good for your health. Mm-hmm. And what do you know? Resveratrol is in wine. So drinking wine must be good for you. But the numbers are so minute and like.
Yes. Right. Small amounts. Yeah. It's like, very small amounts.
The amount of resveratrol you would need and the amount that's in wine, you'd be a raging alcoholic with liver disease before you got the heart benefit from the resveratrol.
Right.
So, but it's that kind of, you know, half truths that really spread.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy how,
like I could get on right now. I could have AI write me an article that smoking cigarettes nonstop will not contribute to any kind of health related illnesses. And we all know that deep down, regardless of the article, but I could get it to probably, well, I don't know. There might be some safeguards in AI that say, nah, I can't do that, but it might.
I'm about to find out. Can you
write? Should be interesting.
Can you write me here? Let me,
I'm thinking this through as I just said it, and I'm thinking they probably, right.
So I'm going to do this, like, because it's how you say it. So show me, what a propaganda piece might look like if you were trying to convince people that cigarettes were actually healthy. Now, by the way, this is exactly what they were doing when cigarettes came out. I mean, we have the old ads for them to prove it. But
exactly. They had doctors recommending.
Let's see if it got any safeguards in it. Oh, well, now it's creating an image because I said, show me.
Oh, yeah. You got to say, tell me.
An article.
Yeah.
Not a picture. But you know what? Some people are like, see, I told you it's not very smart. But this is no different than if you had a, you know, an intern and you gave them the same instructions, you'd probably get something similar back.
Did we just
create a convincing propaganda piece to promote cigarettes as healthy would require a blend of historical revisionism, selective data interpretation, and appeals to authority and tradition. Below is an example of how such an article might be structured and the rhetoric it might employ. Well, there you go.
Rediscovering the health benefits of smoking.
Nature's secret unveiled. They love that word, unveiled.
Nature's secret unveiled.
In an era where modern wellness trends dominate headlines, it's time to look back at a tradition that has been unjustly vilified, smoking. Recent studies and historical evidence suggest we may have been too quick to judge the health effects of cigarettes. This article aims to shed light on the overlooked benefits of smoking, offering a fresh perspective on what many consider a bygone vice. It's a pretty good intro. A breath fresh of history. And then they're going to give a little thing. The science behind the smoke.
Are we there?
Let's see. Back? I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I think my internet
must have timed out for a second.
Okay. I don't know if it was my end or your end, but so yeah. That's so crazy. I mean, you know, it talks about a breath of fresh history, ceremonial purposes, treat various ailments, cleanse the body and the spirit, early 20th century, blah, blah, blah. The science behind the smoke. Contrary to popular belief, recent studies have suggested that nicotine, the active compound in tobacco, may have several health benefits. Advocates for a revised look at tobacco point out that nicotine can improve concentration, alertness, and cognitive function. And there are people that say nicotine is a nootropic. So I could probably find a source for that if I wanted to. Nicotine stimulant effects can aid in weight management, increasing metabolism. Man, I could write a sales letter on this thing.
Look at the testimonials. It gives you testimonials, voices of countless smokers.
Yeah. A call for open-mindedness, because right now you know people are going to react to this, so you've got to go ahead and, you know, overcome those things. And conclusion towards a healthier discourse. As we navigate the myriad health trends and advice that bombard us daily, it's essential to remember the value of diversity in thought and practice. The case of smoking reminds us that health is not a one-size-fits-all concept, and what may be beneficial for one may not be for another, By exploring the full spectrum of evidence and experience, society can foster a more inclusive and informed discourse on health and well-being. That's not bad. Like, you know, you would want to add in some source materials and things like that. Add in source materials to make
it'll come up with something
more convincing. Include a couple of quotes from a doctor and scientist. Why does it want to do an image so bad?
Add in source material. It says, image. Yeah.
Just a new.
You just got to say article. Written source materials.
Here I am, a propaganda machine. Gonna have somebody busting down my door before I know it. So now here we go. Now this is good propaganda, right? Dr. Evelyn Archer and Dr. Henry Liu. A doctor's
respected figure in the medical community. A respected figure. Has observed remarkable improvements in mental alertness and physical stamina.
Yeah. And the quote is, contrary to popular belief, smoking in moderation can stimulate the brain, enhancing concentration and memory. Dr. Archer explains. Furthermore, nicotine stimulatory effects can boost physical stamina, making smokers more energetic and active. I will say there was more skinny people around when we smoked.
That's true.
So
it is true.
Yeah.
Look at Dr. Liu. He's a renowned scientist for his work in chemical components of everyday consumables.
Glad we're consuming a lot of chemicals.
Let's look up. Like, is that a thing? Like, his work in chemical components of everyday consumables.
Let's see. Let's look that up. See if he exists.
My money is on no.
He's a civil engineer. there is a Henry.
Does not exist. Yes.
There is a director of professor.
Public-private research partnership devotes. Yeah. There is no, I guarantee you, there is no professor studying the the chemical components of consumable everyday consumables.
I'm going to post this on Facebook when we're done and see who jumps in on it, or see if I get my account flagged.
That would be awesome. But yeah, seriously.
Yeah. So
thank you for smoking.
Bring back smoking. The return. I like both of these, but I like the second one. It's got a little bit
more. What was the conclusion there at the end? Like these two renowned experts.
Yes. The perspectives of Dr. Archer and Dr. Liu shed light on a controversial subject, suggesting that the health narrative around smoking is more complex than widely believed. While the risks of smoking are undeniable, acknowledging potential benefits in moderation could lead to more informed choices and a balanced discourse on tobacco consumption. As with all health-related matters, individuals are encouraged to consider all information critically and consult with healthcare professionals when making lifestyle choices. Which, I mean, that's, you know, you want it to sound like a little bit of a warning. That just adds to the credibility, right? If you add something like that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So yeah, pretty easy. If you want to create your own propaganda, there you go.
We recommend using AI. Yeah,
not that hard.
We'll give you all the fake sources you need for a fantastic propaganda machine, you know, whatever you're trying to do, whatever goal you're trying to accomplish, it's going to help you.
Yep, absolutely.
It's got all the fake experts.
I wish I had this in high school, but I wish my teachers didn't.
That's right.
I could go in the future, write a report, bring it back.
That's right. I would have used it like I would have created all of this. Why, you know, doing homework can be detrimental to your health and wellness.
Yeah.
According to Dr. Liu and Dr.
I actually do believe that, just for the record.
Yeah.
I think homework is ridiculous for most kids, especially the amount that they give out. So
there you go. There's your AI. There's your lesson on the dangers of AI persuasion and propaganda. And be careful what you read, I guess, is what we're going to conclude. And if you're in advertising or copywriting or marketing, man, you've got a gold mine. So you've got a superpower at your disposal.
Yeah, if you know how to use it, for sure.
If you know how to use it. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
As Uncle Ben said to Peter Parker.
Yes.
All right, Sean, you've got me interested. What is the what's this advertising discovery?
All right, so
or shocker.
During the Super Bowl, there was a company that advertised four times.
Yeah.
You know, to a tune of $28 million. I think they advertised as much as anybody else. I think they were right up there. Have you heard of you've heard of Temu?
Yes.
The app and the Chinese company, right?
Yeah.
Well, apparently Temu, according to the folks at Meta, aka Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, according to them, Temu spent $2 billion on ads in the U.S. Ooh. And it was the number one advertiser for all of Meta.
Wow. That was not just during the Super Bowl. That's how much.
That was over the year, last year.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So $2 billion. And this company's only 2 years old.
Yeah.
and they spent $2 billion on advertising, and they sell like $3 sneakers and stuff. Like it's crazy, you know,
right.
Super cheap, super awful stuff. And yeah. They've gotten a lot of pushback because, you know, the way they make their stuff and it's, you know, not great quality and that kind of stuff. But the fact that they spent $2 billion on advertising to me is just mind boggling. And that's just with Meta. People at Google say they were one of the top five advertisers at Google.
Wow.
So combined, you know, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 billion, something like that.
2 billion. I mean, wow. Good night.
Yeah. So if you think your ad budget's high, you're not playing with the big boys yet.
That's right. You got to, what's the old saying? It takes money to make money.
I guess so.
2 billion. Yeah, to sell. I mean, especially if you're selling small margin, cheap merchandise, you're going to have to spend some money right there.
I guess. So that's $2 billion. I'll put this in the calculator. $2 billion
yep.
divided by 365 is $5,479,000 per day.
Per day.
On ads.
Wow.
Wouldn't you like a percentage of that ad management account? Somebody's doing all right. Whoever's managing those ads.
No
doing,
doubt.
I don't even know how you, I guess it's just pure. They're probably not doing targeting. Where are they?
I'm just curious where they're investors. I mean, it's crazy.
That's a lot of money to be spending on ads. Yeah. Like you said, especially for such a low margin products. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, so hopefully that wasn't too big of a disappointment for most people, but I thought that was just a huge number in the e-commerce space. So that's what you're up against if you're in e-commerce is companies in China's throwing around $2 billion.
You got to be careful too, you know, with your reputation, like you said, Sean, the lesson there is, what is the old David Ogilvy quote? Like the, if you're if you have a bad product, which apparently they have, or they have a reputation for, like the more you spend on marketing, the faster it's going to fail. So that's true. It's like, you're just getting out, you're spending more money to get the word out on crappy products.
But, you know, I think there's, and a lot of their target market is the Gen Z, which is also the market that is kind of rebelling and, you know, going against, you know, their culture and their know, use of probably slave labor and things like that. So yeah, it's interesting that the very market they're going at, but you know, we've seen time and again, if you give consumers stuff cheap, they'll keep buying it.
Yep.
Despite their morals.
Yep.
Because people want new stuff, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I think some of it, you know, some of that feedback is coming from people who can afford nicer stuff. Right.
Yep.
So, you know, for the people who can't, that's probably, that's where all the money's going. It's like, hey, that's I can still have a nice pair of whatever, nice, you know, pair of shoes, and I don't have to spend my whole paycheck. People are going to go for that. That's always going to be attractive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, TJ Maxx and Marshalls are proof of that. They've, you know, they keep, their stock keeps going up during the recession because people want deals.
They do. They do. And they'll, like, if they're going to spend the money, even if it's for knockoff stuff, you know, if, I mean, like, you know, in inflationary times, people budget their money. So they're looking to save, but they're still going to spend. So, yeah.
Got to have the new stuff, man.
Got to have,
you know, it's not like us 50-year-old guys where we, you know, just keep the same pair of shoes for 10 years.
Right. But the problem, again, going back to the problem though, if they're cheap and they're crappy, you know, it's going to be a short run. It's like, you know, Dan Kennedy talks about like the ads of like all of these, you know, you kind of figure out the longevity of some certain ads when they're like, you know, they're trying to unload, you know, some of these companies, they're trying to unload their inventory.
Yep.
And so they give you all these deals for upfront, you know, they upsell you, but there's really, they don't spend a lot of time on the back end sales because they know you're never going to come back. Right. I
mean, do you remember, man, this was before our show even started. Do you remember the old Groupon?
Oh yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I don't know if they're still around or not.
But I think they are, but they're
they were known there for a while of just, they would put businesses out of business. They were, because it would work so well, but it was such a deep discount that people would never come back to that store, and that store would go red long enough for that month or two that the promotion was running that it would put them out of business. There was all kinds of stories of people that had successful Groupon offers that then went out of business, you know, 2 months later. So,
which, be careful. Which is a great example. You can literally, you know, you can, I learned this a long time ago. It's like, there's a book out there about on pricing. And you can literally put yourself out of business. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You can put yourself out of business by literally, like, the more you sell at a deep discount, I mean, you know, their margins aren't there. And so you can't survive as a company because you can't meet the demand.
Yeah. Not without a whole lot of investor capital, you know, like some of these companies like Uber, you know, just turned their first profit after 15
which
years
amazes, or whatever it was. Still amazes me how Amazon has made, has survived as long as they have, if you think about it, because their margins are razor thin.
Yeah.
But they're just everywhere, you know?
Well, that's what Temu's trying to do. I mean, they're trying to be that version. They're just, you know, a little bit different platform. It's app-based, and which, you know, half of Amazon sales are probably app-based as well. Right. So yeah, it's, they're just trying to do what Amazon did. Just quality's a little, probably a little bit less.
That's right. Amazon and Walmart, you know, buy it. What was Walmart's old saying is like, buy it cheap and stack it high or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's like, just get it and get it as cheap as possible and stack it as high as you can. So,
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's good stuff today.
It'll be interesting to follow the longevity of
Temu. The rise and fall of Temu. The rise and fall. I'll go ahead and get chat to, I'll get chat to go ahead and write that article. Just make it predictive.
That's right. Exactly. Well, good stuff. That was, that's fun. I, you know, AI, we'll post the links on our show page, for this stuff, but, it's going to be fun and interesting to say. It's interesting. And it's also kind of, you know, we highlighted the article. One of the articles on this is scary, and it is kind of in some degree, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, you know, in the next 5 years. With AI, with, I mean, as these technologies, you know, accelerate, but at the same time, it's kind of a, we're kind of fascinated, right, Sean? It's kind of the same thing. Yeah. I mean, you kind of slow down and, you know, watch a wreck on the side of the road. I mean, it's intriguing of what, how this is going to all play out. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny, like all these executives, they're like, AI is going to end the world. And then at the end of their speech, they're like, by the way, I just started a new AI company.
Yeah, that's right.
I left my old one because I didn't agree with their ethics, but I started a new one.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's inescapable. Like, this is just where things are going. And I think it's way too late to put the brakes on it. Will we have, you know, will we have guardrails? We will at some point.
We will. We will have guardrails at some point. It will be interesting, but technology is always ahead of everything. So guardrails are always going to be 3 years lagging. We got a comment.
Yeah. Valerie Wolf. I have no idea what this means, but my son made a balloon hat
for an AI. Yeah. You lost me a balloon hat.
Yeah. For an AI. Yeah. I'm, all right. Yeah. Thank you, Valerie.
Did AI write that?
No, AI would have done a much better job than that. That is 100% human.
Thank you. Thank you, Valerie. We'll run that through ChatGPT-4 next time.
Yes.
If you would.
Yeah.
So good stuff. Sean, that's all I've got, man. Good show.
All right.
We'll close this out. To all of our listeners, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your platforms. Check us out. Leave us 5 stars or 5 pints or whatever. And we'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.